I have a premonition, dear sir. This is going to be the best podcast episode you've ever recorded.
Yeah?
Probably not. Might be average at best.
Megadads Live is a mature-rated podcast. It's for the Megadads, the Mega Moms, but not the Mega Kids. So put on those earmuffs and let's go!
How are you doing?
I am terrible.
Yeah?
But Megadad's being super positive.
No. We've decided we're not going to keep you positive. We want you thinking bad thoughts.
I don't believe in luck, but we have determined that every time I am positive or I have any inkling of joy, the world just shoves it right up my toot.
Right up your
beehole. Yeah, so we had our daughter's birthday and she turned 4 and my sister says, "Hey, bro, I had a dream that I got Lily a goldfish." And I said, "Okay." She's like, "So I'd like to get her a goldfish, but I want to clear it with you first." My first thought, of course, is no. Like, these goldfish, if they're anything like when I was growing up, they go like a candle in the wind.
I don't
right?
think goldfish so they have evolved over the years. Yeah, goldfish are goldfish.
They just pass. They're like made to be fodder. You know, I mean, there's certain breeds, I think, that they last like, you know, 100 years or whatever it is. You know, like, and you see them in the Chinese restaurants and stuff. But the regular typical goldfish has like a lifespan of like 8 seconds. Yeah. So I was like, no. She keeps pressing. And what do I do, Adam? Do I stick to my guns? Do I establish a boundary? Or did I say, fine, go ahead. I gave in. So she gets my daughter not a goldfish, but a betta fish. Oh. Are you familiar with the betta fish?
Aren't those
the
ones that like hate any other kind of fish and like they'll murder anything that comes close to them?
They're like an aggressive, like very bright colored fish. You'll find them in these pet stores in the worst conditions possible. Yeah. They keep them in like a little like plastic,
like a Folgers can.
Yeah, like very small, like maybe like enough for them to like hardly move. And when you go into the pet store, they're there, they look beautiful, they're very colorful, but they have no space to move. Mm. And I'm like, I'm thinking back to myself because, you know, I'm like, wait a second. So are they cleaning the water that's in the cup? Are they feeding them? Because they have them stacked like soup cans, like just like a bunch.
There's
800 on the
wall. Of them on a wall. You know.
So I start thinking about this guy's existence before he came to us, and I'm like getting all sad. But she got a little tank for it, so we have a little tank with like you know, much bigger than its original space. This thing is on the verge of death. From the day we got it, it will not move. It's like, it's doing that thing. It's at the bottom of the tank, and it's like, you know how you're kind of watching for a fish to like go belly up. He like messes with us and like goes halfway, and like kind of belly up, and just stays like that and does not move. You can't tell if he's breathing. I tap the glass, and then he's like slightly moves. I'm so afraid. This thing is in hospice from moment one. Yeah. And I am super afraid because my daughter runs to the tank and she's like, "Lily fish, how are you?" She named it Lily after her.
Oh, great.
She's like, "Lily fish, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful night." Keeping like watch over this thing. So what do we do, Adam? Because any moment this thing's going to kick the bucket. I need your help. What do we do?
Well, the challenge is like, aren't the betta fish super unique looking? Like, it's not like a goldfish where, like, a goldfish looks like a goldfish. Like, the idea of the traditional childhood pet thing is, if this thing dies, I will replace it before my kid notices. But with a betta fish, the odds of that are really low, right?
Yeah. My sister was like, "Oh, I got the most beautiful fish." Yeah. It was the only blue one because she was looking for like a pink or yellow one.
So it's a nice rare blue beta fish.
I mean, well, it's like, it doesn't seem like it would be an easy replacement. Like, if you go and run for a new one, there's no guarantee. So now we're thinking, oh, look at the fish changed colors overnight. Man. Now it's a nice green like hue.
Is your daughter that dumb? Like, would she buy that?
No, she's not. No. She's not. She's going to be like, this isn't him.
So you know what's like, going to happen is you're going to end up, you're going to end up being forced to upgrade pets because you're not going to want to replace a like fish with another fish because you're going to end up in the exact same situation. So the only way you're getting out of this without crippling your daughter emotionally is like you're gonna end up with that $180 hedgehog.
Oh my God. And then it'd be like, okay, so don't feel bad. Yes, you had a terrible loss, but here's a nice new lemur for you. Like here's a nice Komodo dragon. Yes. It's gonna keep you company. You're gonna forget all about Lilyfish.
Yep.
I'm terrified. Like this thing is like it has a brand new home. It has lots of space. And the one thing that it does is I'll find it up against like this little filter that's inside and it's vertical, like kind of like humping the side this filter. So he's getting some type of pleasure.
The fuck filter.
It's like, you know, it's vibrating him. You can see him vibrating. And I'm like, is he stuck
dryer.
The intake? Yeah, you just go up to it, rub it a little bit. So, like, this guy's a weirdo. We're not connecting. I don't know.
Fish is always bad. Fish is like, everybody goes into the pet store, sees the fish, and like, this is fucking cool because you don't have to take care of it. You don't have to clean the tank. You don't have to worry about it dying every 3 seconds. Fish at home, worst idea ever. I'm sorry.
It's not going well. So I took out some life insurance on this thing and hoping to get a big payout. Cool.
Mega Dad's being super positive.
Well, on the tail end of your geriatric fish, let's talk about something positive. The things that are bringing us joy in the world. Antonio, other than the life insurance policy that you plan on cashing in when you off this fish, what's bringing you joy, my friend?
So it was our daughter's birthday. We had a big party, invited her whole little class of like 20 kids and the parents and our families. It was like 80 people and it went off without a hitch. We got these unicorn suits that blow up. You may have seen like the T-Rex where people get inside and they blow up. So me and my wife got two unicorn suits, came out and started dancing and did like the hokey pokey and like all these like things. I'll send clips. I'll post them on Mega Dad.
I'm going to need to put them on a side by side right now. So make sure you send me that alongside.
I will send you the
footage. Yeah.
We had little carnival games going on, like just little games for the kids and stuff. So it went off without a hitch. And, it, you know, this is serious because when we get into these like suits, we're doing choreography. So you'll notice like the head, shoulders, knees and toes. We're doing the like thing and you can't breathe in the.
Do unicorns have toes?
I don't know. I think they have one toenail. If I'm not mistaken, like a hoof type thing. And it has venom in it because when the predators come, they just jab, jab, jab
with
their little venomly hook.
Everybody knows about the unicorn poison toe.
Yes, exactly. And it went off without a hitch. So I think it's pretty good. Some of the kids didn't like all the excitement. So they were like crying.
Right.
And what I didn't realize is like, oh, let me get the big room that we're in involved because we're kind of like, you know, on like in our little stage area right there. So I like, you know, run over to the side. So I run over to the side going, ah! And little did I know as I'm doing this, to the side were the parents with the crying kids who were trying to keep away from us. So you just see like the terrified look of kids just like climbing their parents, trying to like get inside their arms to like save them from me as I'm like in their face. So and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like I like realized it and I kind of like backed up, but the damage was done. The fear in these kids' eyes was like, I really messed them up. I'm very sorry.
You're a weird motherfucker. You know that? Like, yes. I don't know anybody that would purchase a unicorn, a set of unicorn outfits, learn choreography for a one-off event. Like, are you using these things for sex stuff afterwards? Are you getting anything else out of this?
No, we got a dual set of the dinosaur ones for Halloween last year, and we wore them once, and that was it. So it's definitely like a rubber, single use.
Yeah.
You had your fun with it, tossed to the side, never to be used
again. Okay. Huh. I'm not really sure how to follow that. My super positive, it's got to be the weather. It's a weird weather year here, and we've talked about this a few times. But it is just a fucking bonkers weather year here in Minnesota. But we have had so many warm sunshine days where, like, you feel like you should be out gardening, even though it's only, I mean, typically at this point in Minnesota, we would be snow blowing the driveway, shoveling out, scraping ice, things like that. But we could legit go outside and start planting some fucking flowers and they'd be just fine. The world is going to end. No doubt. Undoubtedly, we are on the precipice of the end of mankind. But boy, I like the sunshine. It's great.
We got like 3 years left of
positive.
A year or two of decent weather and then we're just going to start cooking. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Well, with those out of the way, we're going to introduce a brand new segment. Now that Mabel has come back from her hiatus, she's taken to rounding up the community in our Discord, our Megadads Discord. Make sure you sign up for the Megadads Discord. It's totally free and it's great community chats. And she's taken to the Discord to get community questions answered here on Megadads Live, and we're calling it Mabel's Mailbag. Mabel, what do you got for us today? Fantastic. I'm going through them right now. Yep, we got, these are all good questions. This one's actually a restraining order for you. Yep. Okay. All right. The first question out of Mabel's bag is from our good friend Delvin Cox. And actually, as I browse through these questions, I just have to say, our Megadads community is profoundly perverse. We ask them for some funny questions, some awkward questions, and just every single one of them has to do with fucking, or who would you like to fuck, or how do you fuck? how many times do you fuck?
Does it
hurt when you fuck? Like, every single one of them is just the most perverse question you could possibly imagine. But beggars can't be choosers. We asked for this. So Delvin wants to know, which video game characters would bang? And this is a very kind of like vanilla question, but he spices it up here by saying they cannot be in the same video game universe. So you can't have Mario and Boo and King Boo go at it because they inhabit the same world. So you gotta turn your brain on here and think outside the box. It's gotta be a crossover situation for the ages. Do you have one in mind, or would you like me to go first?
I was trying to pair off the most interesting character to me would be Sonic. Now let's just say that Sonic's love life is not going to be good no matter who you pair him up with. I'll give you one guess as to why, but you know, he gets in these relationships. If they start cooking, they get hot and heavy, and then it's just like a big L, like a big zero, like cold fish. I mean, he's having the best time,
but it's over.
But he's
like
just
that.
Done. It's so fast. Mm-hmm. It's like it never even happened.
Can you imagine?
So it's hard.
Can you imagine the?
I can't. I can.
The lube
I can.
That you would need to have Sonic fuck you and you not like burst into flames. Like the friction.
Yeah. So the spin dash, you know, move isn't all it's cracked up to be. No. And I think that Sonic and anyone would be kind of what I would want to see, and see like them go to therapy and talk about it and be like, look, we've tried to work on this. It's just too big of a deal. I don't see it working out. So Sonic and somebody.
I don't think Sonic would be a very good partner, even outside the bedroom. Like, I don't think he would be a good listener. You know, he's always moving on to the next thing. He's never going to he's never gonna put your needs first, because he's always moving forward, right?
Yeah.
I bet Sonic
eating
just,
chili dogs all the time.
Yeah, Sonic
the
just goes through partners. I would think you'd want to pair him with, like, the polar opposite, right? I'm thinking like the mayor from Animal Crossing, the turtle, the super old geriatric turtle, like somebody as slow as possible paired with somebody as fast as possible. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
My brain went to not just interesting characters, but like I tried to figure out a character that, like, I wouldn't even be able to imagine them having sex. Like, how would this even be physically or logistically possible? So my first character that I came up with was Andross from the Star Fox universe. And those of you who are not Star Fox fans know that Andross is a space monkey who is just a floating head and floating hands. So he has no private parts. Zero, right?
That we know of.
There could be some off-screen floating space rocket wiener. It's possible. That could actually be his weak point. And then I was like, well, who am I going to pair Andross with? Somebody as equally tricky to bang. And I came up with Dr. Kawashima from the Brain Age series on Nintendo DS. And if you remember Brain Age, it was like that book that you would open up and it would give you cognitive quizzes and challenges and Sudoku and things like that, and then it would determine your age. And Dr. Kawashima was another floating head. So I've got this middle-aged Asian doctor floating head, and then this space monkey floating head and hands. And I would just think that would be the most romantic and intimate lovemaking ever, because it's all mouth. It is just all mouth, right? They're just licking each other.
They say that there's, like, you can literally find anything on the internet. Like, no matter how weird, how niche, there's always somebody somewhere who's thought of it already and made it happen.
Yeah.
I really wonder if this somewhere exists, somewhere in the dark corners of the web, and somebody's tried it out. It's like, hey, babe, what's your fantasy? And he's like, well... And this is, like, what I want to see. Yeah. I don't know.
You ever heard kinda, of Dr. Kawashima?
Oh.
The other one that was, like, a quick throwaway one was Kirby, who's known for, like, sucking and eating and inhaling things. And Cammy from Street Fighter, who's known for just having the biggest, roundest ass ever. And I would think Kirby could just absolutely eat that ass off.
Sorry.
Okay.
I know that exists.
That one definitely exists.
Kirby smut is all over the internet, I bet. I was thinking about, you know, Samus, you know, people who are in, like, those suits.
Yeah.
But, like, if Samus, like, you know, she's fit. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. Like, you see Zero Suit Samus. And, you know, very healthy, I'm sure. But the smell, like, after spending, like, all day in that thing, like, just balling up and, like, doing the jumps.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, you got to be, it's a little musty.
She's definitely got stank crotch.
A little yeast.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
A little yeasty.
Next question comes from Bird10. Is that how we say birds? We call them bird?
Yeah, I don't want to give away, like, too much, but Bird knows who they like their anonymity a little bit.
Yeah.
But wonderful, wonderful member of the community, and came up with some really good
and
stuff.
An extreme pervert. Just like we said before, an absolutely
down and
pervert.
Dirty.
And the 10 might be in reference to something in particular based on Bird's question, which is, do you think that your size matters?
It does.
It absolutely
it
does.
It does, Adam.
I don't know how far we need to go into this, but when you're younger, you don't necessarily give it much thought. As you're older and it becomes harder and harder to see your own penis over your flabby belly, realize it absolutely fucking matters.
Like, it's still there, right? Like, can I send a search party out?
Yeah.
Like, sign of life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, as you get older, Adam, the hormones, the juices, the things that blow up and the things that go down and the just like every part of you is like kind of disintegrating slowly. Yeah. So it's hard. I mean, it's
not,
not
as hard as it used to be, but that you bring up a good point. Like, gravity starts to pull everything on your body down as you get older,
don't
right?
Don't get me started.
And when you get that little dad body pudge, you know, I'm not a big guy, but I got the pudge. Everybody gets the pudge. They call it dad bod for a reason. Once you become a father and you stop caring what the fuck you look like you get a little pudge.
Yes.
And then you come up with this, in the rare occurrence that you actually get an erection, your dick is fighting with your belly button. Like, they're just battling it out for which one's going to win, right? Who's going to reveal themselves? Who's going to come out on top? Is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, it matters. Final question comes from V, former host of this very show. And V wants to know what a Nintendo-themed lingerie line would be.
Thought about this one a lot. It's very obvious based on Final Fantasy Remake and Rebirth that Tifa has shown us that suspenders are in.
Yeah.
Okay. Suspenders are the hottest thing right now. It's like the new stiletto, like with Mario and Luigi blazing the way first with the suspenders. I think it would just be like thin suspenders and just like different like colors and gems and like different lace and stuff. And that is the like the Nintendo line, and every like naughty little getup that they make has a suspender theme to it. That's what I'm thinking.
All right, I like that. That's actually that sounds arousing.
Wahoo!
My thought went to I have a line for men and a line for women. For women, I came up with the Pikmin bra, and the thing with Pikmin is like you think small, right? But
sure.
But you also think you pluck the Pikmin out of the ground, right? You grab hold of that little leaf and you pluck, pluck. Those are your, those are the, you know, like the little, you know what I'm talking about? Little ding, 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 ding. On the, you know, you just grab and you boink. You know what I'm talking about? Boink. The other one I came up with was for the gentleman. And there, I'm just going to say the title of this, and you fill in the rest. They are the warp pipe briefs. And the pipe is me, like a little piranha plant. It's like, you know what I'm talking about? You ever heard of a warp whistle? Yeah, you ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One last question. This is again Bird 10 coming up, and this one is not sexual at all.
Really? We got one of those?
Yeah, it was like, okay, just like normal question. Clean the palate, so to speak. So the question is, most unusual thing you've ever put in your mouth?
Most unusual thing ever put in your mouth?
So I may have told this story before, but like I was on the couch and I was just, you know, laying back and, you know, enjoying an afternoon. And my dogs, like they like to run to the door when they hear something or, you know, there's a doorbell or they see a dog pass by and they just scamper and they run. So they're sitting on like one end and I'm laying on the other end of the couch, and on their runway, they're like little path to scamper to the window. One of them decided to walk over me, you know, like step on me.
Oh, no.
So they step on me and they started, you know, at my feet and like running up me. And I'm like, oh, let me get up. Like, you know, instinctively, I'm like, they're going to like jump on me and like hurt me. So like running up and then my head's moving up right when their titty, the little doggy titty comes like by my lips. So there was like this incident where the dog's running up and past me and I'm getting up. And then the titty, like...
You sucked a dog tit?
Sucking... There was not time for such interaction. No. However...
It got in there.
There was contact. There was definite contact. And, you know, my dog's going very fast, like running... And then, like, kind of got past me already, you know, split second. And then kind of stops and turns to look at me. And I, like, sit up and I'm looking at it. And it's, like, looking at me. And then it's, like, we both, like, let's never speak of this again. So that's probably the most unusual thing that I put in my mouth. It was just, like, a weird, a meet cute.
For me, it's definitely got to be a toothbrush.
Sephiroth!
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is an action RPG extravaganza for the PlayStation 5 exclusively. Now, normally on an episode of Mega Dad's Live, we'll talk about a couple of games. I'll bring a game, you'll bring a game, we'll discuss a game. And I said, Antonio, for this episode, we just got to go all Final Fantasy. And
have to.
We were going to record this episode last week. Internet issues were, you know, problematic. And so I'm actually glad it worked out that way because I got an extra week with this game to be able to talk about it at a little bit more of a in detail, but without spoilers. This is going to be a spoiler-free chat. I've put 20 hours into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth at this point. For those of you who are familiar, but maybe not like intimately so with Final Fantasy VII, this game picks up right as you leave Midgar, which in the original game is like after, what, maybe 5-6 hours in the game. And then you go into the open world. And I have spent 20 hours with this game, and I've visited, I think, 2 major towns. There is so much content in this game. They've blown up and expanded on so much that I just want to do and see and interact with everything. Like, that was the big thing about Final Fantasy VII Remake was... Wow, they made Midgar so big and rich, and they've expanded the side stories, and they've expanded the character backstories. Rebirth is somehow taking it even further to the point where you just are constantly seeing new things, acquiring new abilities, playing new mini games. This game is very mini game heavy. And above all else, you are living in this world with some of the best RPG characters in the history of the genre. Final Fantasy is always known for its rich characters and storytelling. But if you go back and play some of the older games, like, you kind of realize that your nostalgia goggles put more character into those people that was actually there, right? Like, you identify with the character because you play with them over the 40 hours, but there wasn't that much storytelling. There wasn't that much world building around these characters. But my God, man, I am so in love with every freaking character in this game, and they've expanded them in really phenomenal ways. Chief among them is Yuffie, the little ninja girl, was an optional character in the original Final Fantasy VII. You could play through the entire game and never acquire Yuffie. Yuffie in this game is top shelf. Like, she's so fucking fun and adorable and hilarious. And at 20 hours, I still don't have her as a full party member yet. She's just you know, off in the periphery doing side story stuff. But I love everything about this game. The combat is better than in Remake. They have synchronicity attacks where your skill tree, you can partner up with other characters in your party to deliver special combo attacks a la Chrono Trigger. So if you have Cloud and Tifa in your party a lot, you can level them up together so they have special combo attacks. I continue to accrue new summons as I go, some of which I got from my pre-orders. So I've got Shiva, I've got Titan, I've got Leviathan, I've got Chocobo. It's just like, it's so much all the time. And it's one of those games where there are games that you play that you really enjoy your time with. And then there are games that you want to play every waking moment. And I am not exaggerating when I say every day I come home from work, I sit down with this game immediately and boot it up and play at least an hour. I just cannot get enough of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. The music is astounding. It takes that original soundtrack and expands on it. The graphics are out of this fucking world. The characters, the world is so dense and fully realized. When you get to Junon Canon, which if you've played the original game, it's this coastline city built on a giant war cannon. And this thing is like half a mile long. And it was so cool in the old game. But when you get there in full 3D PS5 4K high-res graphics, and you're walking around and viewing this thing from any angle as you're approaching it, like before you even get there, and you see it in the distance, and you're approaching this thing, and you know what you're in for if you play the original game, the excitement just swells and swells. Every instance where you know you're about to come on a big scene. Like we just did the Shinra City Parade yesterday, which was a fun little mini game in the original one. You had to do the moves and sync it up with, you know, push a certain button to put your rifle on one shoulder and the other. They expand that sequence into a full on mission that takes probably half hour, 45 minutes. And it's not overinflated. It's like you have to assemble your parade guard, the people that you want to march behind you. Like you're recruiting a party of parade goers as you walk around the city, and then you have to do the actual thing yourself, and there's button combinations and you're performing. And just like in the original game, you get the news feed, the CNN news feed watching the parade. Yeah, and you get the crowd and awesome. The audience interaction, and they get to vote or upvote or downvote you. My God, man. You love Final Fantasy VII. I know you do. You're a huge fan of this game.
Yes.
They fucking nailed it. They absolutely nailed it. And on top of that, at only 20 hours in, I can only speak to this a little bit, but they expand on what Rebirth put into play in that there are new elements here. And I'm not going to spoil it, and I'm not going to say what that means, but there's new stuff in here that's very relevant, not just as a remake, but as a new experience. And it enhances and it keeps the mystery alive, where it's like, you know the journey you're on and you know the things you're going to see and do, but you don't know the unknowns, and there's a lot of unknowns. And it's just truly a game of the generation. I can tell you right now, it is going to take an absolute miracle for anything to dethrone this as my game of the year. It's just, it's brilliant, top to bottom.
Everyone I know that has access to this game does what you're talking about, which is put everything else to the side and just keeps jumping in. For something, I always say that a good game is addictive, and it like really, you can't get enough of it. So it sounds like that's the case here. The word that people keep using, like you, to describe it is that they expand and expand. So you're right, in the original game there's only so much dialogue, there's only so much, you know, interaction between the characters, there's the cutscenes and the story bits, and for them to flesh those out and make the characters even more fully realized, it takes a lot of care. Like I'm only on playing Final Fantasy Remake. So the first game in the Remake series now. And they, looking at Midgar and every little bit of the city that they show, it's like, okay, we have to think through what this cafe would look like, you know, an artist rendering, a realization of based on what we had in the first game and the cutscenes that were there and the screens that were there, the places that you saw. Now let's think about the vehicles more. Let's think about the signage. Let's think about like just, and it feels like a place that's fully realized. And then you're only there for a short time and then you move on and then you go to the next area and it's like, oh, this is what the view from the bottom of the plate would look like,
right?
You know, based on what the source material is. If you really sat there and put your full effort, this whole game just screams full effort and this expanding idea. It's not easy. You could have messed this up. You could have like ruined the character, made them seem like they weren't, you know, that's not something they would say, you know, that's not some, that's the a weird view, but like, right. Oh, that's not what I would envision. It's like incredible.
It's very much you hit it on the head when you said like the love put into it. It really feels like a game that is not only a love letter to Final Fantasy fans, but it feels like it's made top to bottom. Like everybody poured so much care and attention into it. Like you said, it was very easy for them to just like redo what they already did, but the way that they've made it, they've polished it up and expanded on it, and they're showing you things that you wish you always could have seen a certain way, or doing things with characters that you wish you could have done if you had a little bit more freedom, learning about them, battling with them in that full 3D. Just you feel it's such a nostalgia trip, but it's so current, it's so cutting edge, and it's just truly phenomenal.
Two questions about the game, because I know that there's, it's jam-packed with content. Mm-hmm. You have Queen's Blood and the mini games all throughout. For the combat, I'm not good at this combat. I know that they've changed things up for Rebirth compared to Remake. Is there like combat constantly where it's like random encounters and the enemies just keep regenerating so you could grind out levels if you need to? Is that kind of how it goes? Or when you clear an area, is it then empty of all the enemies that were there, or do they respawn?
So far at the point that I'm at, most of the combat comes in like the open world area. So you start the game and you're in the first town, then you go outside the town's limits, and there's like, each town kind of has an open world around it. So for those of you who know Final Fantasy VII, after you leave Midgar, you go to the town of Calm, which is a very short experience in the first game. It's a little pass-through town. This game, oh my God, when you step out into the streets of Calm and you look around and you see all the things you can do, but then Calm will have a surrounding area. And then when you move on towards Junon will have an open world surrounding area. And so you can traverse and attack things. They spawn at random in the open world. There's also special like mini boss encounters. Mm-hmm, if you're like a completionist, you'll get this combat list of go here and fight these specific bad guys, and you'll get like challenges. Try to beat it in this time. Try to beat it with this amount of staggers and things like that. So there's like optional mini bosses that you can go to if you want to do everything. But for the most part, it's you're out in that open world and you can fight things as you want to. And then there's dungeons, like you go through mines and you go through swamps and stuff like that. And that's a little more combat centric. And then you have to fight as you make your way through there. So it's a combination of things you have to fight and then optional. And then, of course, you start the game and at any point you can knock the difficulty level down. So if the combat is too much for you, just knock it down to easy and keep going. But yeah, the combat is like, it's very much Kingdom Hearts-esque, where you're running around the field in full 3D. At the touch of the D-pad, you can select any character in your core party that you want to control. Now, the cool thing about this game in particular, in Rebirth, is as you start out, you've got Cloud, Tifa, Barret, Aerith, and Red 13 in your party. That's five people, and the combat works where you have a party of three. Now, in older Final Fantasy games, you would store those other two characters away. They would just magically disappear. You'd select the people you want and the other two would just disappear, right? In Rebirth, they're always there. They're off in the distance. They're like outside of the bubble of the battle, but they're still attacking. So if you don't have Barret in your party, say you're Cloud and Tifa and Red 13, those are the three characters that you core control. You can jump back at any point between them and you're fighting. But then you'll look in the heat of battle and you'll see Barret off in the distance standing up on a ledge. And he's like actually attacking. He's causing damage on the enemies on the field. You can't control him because he's not in your selected party, but he's always there. So that's super cool. Everybody levels up.
Damn.
Even if they're not in your party, you'll always see their level tree progressing. You can go into their skill tree at any time, even if they're not in your core party. So your party really is five people, but you pick like your three favorites that you want to intimately control. So that's super cool as well. And of course, summons work in the same way as Final Fantasy Remake, where every once in a while your summon meter will fill up. You'll call them onto the battlefield. They don't take the place of your party. They fight with your party. So you bring Ifrit into battle. He's going to be fighting on his own. And then as your battle meter fills up, you can command him to do special attacks. But he's going to be out there kicking ass for you as his combat meter fills up and things like that. So it's a different approach to the classic turn-based. You know, Final Fantasy VII Classic was a very turn-based thing. This is not that. It's much more active and 3D action, but damn, it's so much fun and it's flashy as hell. It's so good.
The technology, I'm blown away. Like, if I can tell, like, as a kid, just I was blown away by Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation, and I'm just like, wow, it got me into RPGs because it was just so incredible what I was seeing. Like you said, the summons and the magic, the music, like the varied areas and overworld. It just looked amazing for the time. And after that cutscene, like the opening cutscene, it just grabs you and takes you to a place. And now if I could look back and say, wow, this is going to be possible, I don't believe what I'm seeing.
Well, and what
when I'm seeing it today,
right? And
it's
what
that
a
impressive
thing to experience that same feeling in the same world. What, 25 years later, they've done that. Like, I played the Resident Evil remakes, and they're fantastic remakes, but they felt, you know, like you would expect them. Final Fantasy VII, these remakes, the grandeur just elevates and pushes out, and you get that same feeling of, oh my god, this is so big and audacious and grand, and I'm on a real lifetime adventure here. And you get that feeling again with familiar characters and familiar music, familiar worlds, and it is just, oh man, I imagine first timers are loving this. I mean, my son loves this. I played this with him and he loves it, but for guys like you and I who can remember back in the 90s experiencing this for the first time, and to have this new experience, it is truly like unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And you bring up Queen's Blood. People who are not like in on Final Fantasy might not know that Final Fantasy card games, they're actually like, there's a history there. There's a tradition there, starting with Final Fantasy VIII, where they've had these really addictive mini games. And Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has Queen's Blood, and it is a card game that in our Discord is polarizing. Some people do not like Queen's Blood at all. I love it. I love
it. I hear great things.
There are certain people in the world where you can go and you can find them, and they've got a board and they've got a deck, and you challenge them and you can win cards from them. And then you go off and buy more cards at shops, and you expand your deck and you customize your deck to what you want to do. And I'm not going to get into the nuances of how the game plays and the strategy of, you can see it in the screens as you're watching this episode, but it is so addictive, so fun. And it just enhances the game. All these mini games that they populate in Rebirth, they're additive. They're not throwaway and garbage. They're like, they really add to the experience and to that feeling of, I gotta play more, because there's so much to do. There's just so much to do in this game. And I will be playing this probably for several months going forward. I'll keep coming back and giving short updates about my thoughts. I don't want to burst through this game. I want to appreciate it. I want to go through it slowly, really appreciate my time, do all the things that I want to do, spend all the time with the characters. But this is beyond Game of the Year caliber. Like, this is game of this generation for PlayStation 5 in my eyes. Like, this is so, so good. It's incredible. It's what a good exclusive should be in my eyes. Like, it just makes you feel, I go on threads and I see people talking about how PS5 has been a disappointment. And I'm just like, this is the game that I'll look back on this generation and say, like, that's what I loved playing on my PS5. It was Final Fantasy mm-hmm. VII Rebirth. So it's good stuff, man. I'm excited to keep playing. I'm excited to keep talking to folks in the Discord about it. We've got a Final Fantasy VII channel in there, and then other people just sharing their enthusiasm about soundtrack and the characters and the things that you do. And special game.
Yep.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. That's the caboose. We're going to bring you a recommendation of something outside of the world of video games. There's not much in my life outside of the world of Final Fantasy right now, but you know what? There are other things. So here are our recommendations to you. Antonio, what's in your caboose?
So, taxes. Doing your taxes, because I don't have time for anything. Because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have some free time. I'm gonna play some games. I'm gonna enjoy life. It's like, no, you have to file taxes. So I can't recommend anything because I can't experience anything right now. Because I am knee deep in collecting my documents and I hate forms, Adam. Forms. So I have no caboose. I'm caboose-less.
You'll get your caboose when you get your refund. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. Then I can spend my harder. Wait, actually, I'm going to owe money. So never mind.
Oh.
I'm going to be money behind. Of course, I'm going to owe money.
Okay.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, in my caboose, I'm going to recommend something a little off. I've recently started watching 80s movies with my family. Just on a
dangerous
whim. Just like I was scrolling through Hulu and I saw the movie Footloose.
Footloose.
And doo-doo. I've seen Footloose. Like, I know what Footloose is. But I started watching it and my family immediately was like, why? And I'm like, if you want to see how weird the 80s was, Footloose is a great film to watch. And we're watching it and it's a musical and people are dancing. There's so much dancing. There's a scene in this movie where Kevin Bacon gets super pissed off and he's frustrated and he doesn't know what to do and he's boiling up with all his feelings. So he drives to an abandoned factory and he dances for like 8 minutes. And he's swinging from chains and the rafters and he's like throwing his arms up and he's flipping and backflipping. And it's like the dumbest thing ever. But as I'm watching it, it occurred to me that, man, we really had it right in the 80s, didn't we?
Yeah.
The world right now is so self-serious and kind of just like grim and nobody's got a lot of hope. And you look at shit like Footloose. And it's just a movie about dancing, about wanting to dance your feelings out. And it sounds so goofy now, but man, Kevin Bacon had it right, man. Kevin Bacon absolutely had it right. So I'm starting to watch some of these older movies and just the levity that they bring. They're not so serious. Nothing about climate change and the world ending and nothing about the economy. It's just people laughing and having fun and dancing and singing. And so I'm going to recommend you to find a super cheesy 80s movie. Footloose is a great recommendation, but it doesn't have to be Footloose. Find something from your childhood that's just a little happier and put it on with your family, because man, we had a friggin' blast watching Footloose together.
Footloose.
And it's got John Lithgow. Everybody likes John Lithgow. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Megadads Live. Thank you so much for watching here on youtube.com/Megadads. Make sure you join that Discord. Join our conversations. You could jump into Mabel's bag. Yep, I said it. We'll see you guys next Friday right here for another episode of Megadads Live.